Good morning. Wow, this is December already, December 7th. The year is just flying by. Thank you for letting me have a week or two off. Now we are continuing our study of The Master Speaks. We're on Chapter 11. The Allness of God. And Joel begins with, "The primary purpose of our work is to bring forth our true identity as Spirit, as God made manifest, as life individually expressed in all of life's harmony and perfection." So here he is saying our primary purpose is not to add health onto our experience. It's not to add abundance onto our experience. Our primary purpose is to bring forth our true identity as Spirit, as God. So are you doing that? Are you practicing these principles so that you can bring forth God in expression? Of course, you have to ask yourself, what is God? What is God? Well, you say, with a knee-jerk reaction, God is harmony. God is love. Those are statements of truth about the truth. Those are not truth. We in our work do not attempt just to turn sick people into well people or poor people into rich people. Improving humanhood is not our main object. Yes, the fruitage of our work is improved health and supply, but the improvement of material conditions is not its prime object. These are only signs following, or the added things. The primary object is to reveal God as your individual being. To reveal that there are not God and man, but there is only God. God appearing as individual you and individual me, to reveal that I and my Father are one. There are not both a God and you. But since God is infinite and God is all, then God must express itself, manifest itself as you and as me. So, is that your experience, is God manifesting as you? That, of course, is Christ. God expressing as you. Well, we can take the three O's. Omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. We can say, well, that's God. So is that God expressing as you? Or is you expressing as you? Is me expressing as you? In this oneness, there is no room for sin, disease, lack, or limitation. There's no room for war, for unfair competition. There's no room for the evils of capitalism or the evils of communism. There is only room for the understanding of true being. The understanding of what it means to be God manifested individually in all of God's glory. You will remember the prayer of the Master, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Think what it would mean if we could stand forth here and now in all of God's glory. Think how impossible it would be to lack anything if we were showing forth the allness of God. If we were showing forth the truth of that statement, Son, all that I have is thine. According to Scripture, it is true that all that the Father hath is thine and mine. Once you and I begin to show forth that allness of God, how impossible it would be for any form of envy, jealousy, malice, or strife to enter into our daily experience. And that is the object of this work. The infinite way is not merely for the purpose of setting up better human beings, but to reveal the allness of God as individual you and me. So, you don't really need health and wealth added to your experience. You need to meditate. And in the center of your stillness, experience the allness of God manifesting as you. The allness of God. That's something, isn't it? That's the object of our work. To be consciously aware of the allness of God manifesting as you. In all religions, there are promises of omnipresence. But we have to go one step further. We have to demonstrate omnipresence. That's something that you could meditate on and think about and contemplate. Just how would I demonstrate omnipresence? I don't think you can demonstrate omnipresence. I think you can become consciously aware of it. Omnipresence is a fact. But when you become consciously aware of it, it becomes a law. Before that, it's just a theory. Omnipresence. All presence everywhere. All presence every when. All presence every one. God, through this study, through meditation and through inspiration, must become not a word that we talk about, not a being to whom we pray, but God must be an actual companion on our pathway through life. The allness of God must become your companion, and then the allness of God must become your realization. And then the allness of God must become your demonstration, your experience, your conscious awareness. The object of this work is to make God real. To make God as real to you and to me as he was to Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Elijah, Jesus, John, Paul, or Peter. God becomes an absolute living reality, a presence, a power, a companion, a healer, a supplier. We shall not find God in books, and we shall not find God in churches. Books and churches are merely the avenues which enable us to open our consciousness to the inflow. God ultimately will be revealed where Jesus said it would be revealed, within. The kingdom of God is within you. I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So where is the Father? Within me. Where is the allness of God? Within me. Not within my body, not within your body. The allness of God is within your consciousness. The allness of God is within your conscious awareness. And your conscious awareness is the law unto your being. Okay. Of course, that does not mean inside the body. God is not in our physical body. But God is within us, in the sense that God is our very own being. God is not separate or apart from you or me. In this case, the word within does not actually mean within some part of the body, such as the brain or the heart. It means that God is not something outside or separate or apart from our own being. God is not separate or apart from our consciousness. And before long, we shall see very clearly that God is our consciousness. Now, what is consciousness? Have you ever meditated on that question? I myself am infinite divine consciousness, Joel says in another book. But what is consciousness? Well, we know one thing. Consciousness and conscious awareness are one. When you become aware, well, I've given you the example in the past. I bought a brand new Subaru with all-wheel drive for up here in the mountains. And I had never seen any on the road, never noticed any. But after I bought it, became consciously aware of it, I began to see Subarus everywhere. I mean everywhere, in the town, little town I live in the, on the highway, in long trips over to Asheville, I saw Subarus everywhere. Well, they were always there, but I was not consciously aware of it until I studied one and I bought one and it entered my consciousness, my conscious awareness. The same is true of God. The same can be true of God for you. You can become aware of, you can become consciously aware of God's presence. And then that presence will be everywhere to you. Because that presence is all presence, omnipresence. And once you become aware of even a little bit, you are receptive and the door is open to become aware of all of God, or God's allness. To us, in the infinite way, God must become a living reality. God must become as real to you and to me as we are real to each other. The object of this work is to make God real. God ultimately will be revealed where Jesus said it would, within. Of course, that does not mean inside the body. It means that God is not something outside or separate or apart from our being. And before long, we shall see very clearly that God is our consciousness. Most metaphysical teachings would call us man. Their synonyms for the word man include idea, image, likeness, reflection, expression. Nearly all of them teach that you are an idea of God. But the Infinite Way teaching does not agree with that. This teaching stands on the fullness of the Master's unfoldment, on the fullness of his realization, that in his humanhood, he of himself could do nothing. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I and my Father are one. Did you ever see a one? Hold up one of your fingers, just one finger. Think of that one finger as a symbol of the oneness expressed by I and my Father. I and the Father are one. Unless you can agree with that teaching of oneness, understand it and feel it, you will never be able to take the next step and realize all that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. But if you can agree that I and the Father are one, as much as one finger, then you will find that all that the Father is, I am, and all that the Father hath is mine. And you will understand that when you pray, believing that you already have, you do already have. One finger is our symbol that God manifest as you. It is the Word made flesh, not the Word and flesh, the Word made flesh. The basis of our work is oneness, omnipresence. It is not one thing present together with another thing. It is omnipresence. I and my Father are one. In this oneness is your completeness. In this oneness, God is made manifest as individual you and me in all of its glory. Glorify thou me with thy glory. The first important concept that must be changed in coming from any metaphysical teaching to the Infinite Way is that you are not an idea. You are not a reflection. We are not reflections. We are not ideas. You and I are life eternal. Okay, you see that? There's a fine difference there. If we were other than life eternal, there would be a law, a God, a something acting upon us. Whereas I am the way, I am the law, I was given dominion over the things of the sea, over the things of the air, and over the things of the sky. In that oneness is dominion, the dominion of God made manifest. as individual you and me. All right, now, well, he says you should study this very carefully. Turning to the Father within and praying for light and guidance on this point, because on this revelation rests the entire demonstration of harmony. All right, so the allness of God is manifesting as you. Not so much your body, because that's a series of concepts, but your soul, your spirit, your presence is God's presence. And it should be, it must be, for that is the truth. I am the truth. All right. The moment you believe that there is some other power, some power outside of yourself, separate from yourself, that can act upon you, even if you believe it is good power, you are exposing yourself to the possibility of an evil power. There is no power acting upon you. Life, God, or soul is the only power. God, soul, spirit, and truth are the reality of your being. If there is only one life, and that life is your life, then God is your life. If there is only one mind, then God is your mind. God is your soul. God is your spirit. We are told that even your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What else is there to you but life, mind, soul, spirit, and body? And all this is God, God infinitely manifested in all its glory as you and as me. Well, that's wonderful to read and beautiful to hear. But how do we demonstrate the allness of God? And the answer is, you cannot. You cannot demonstrate. Ah, yes, but God can reveal itself. God can demonstrate itself. God can demonstrate the allness of God right where you are. Now, of course, it begins with hearing it, studying it, feeling it, hopefully. The allness of God is manifesting right here, right now, as my living experience. And so we can take that into meditation. The allness of God is manifest as my individual experience when it is realized. Again, he says, the object of our work is to make God real. The object of our work is to have a realization of God. Then you make God real. When you have a realization, you make God real. We have only to look at the history of the world to find a continuous record of the belief that we are something separate and apart from God. On every side there are wars and other chaotic conditions. If there is to be any hope for us as individuals, it will have to be found in the message and the mission of the Master, Christ Jesus. And that mission and that message without misinterpretation. The word itself must suffice. We must accept as our principle the words of the Master, not as a teaching applying to an individual 2,000 years ago, but as a principle of life which we can follow. On that point of oneness, of conscious oneness with God, rests the foundation of all else that is to come. All right, so the allness of God manifesting as you. Your conscious realization of that brings it into reality, makes it real. A second important point in the message of the Infinite Way is also in disagreement with most of the teaching of the metaphysical world. The human mind is not a power. Human thought is not a power. Even good human thought is not a power. Those who have attempted to heal with good human thought will testify to the fact that it is not a very great healing agency. The best example he gives, and one that you can test for yourself, is close your eyes and build the strongest, biggest nuclear weapon that you can. Make a nuclear bomb. It can be a suitcase bomb if you like. But something in the machinery is going to split an atom. And the splitting of the atom is what makes the atom bomb explosion. So build the best one you can. Don't forget the uranium or whatever it is you're going to use. Build it good. Build it strong. Now, start the countdown. 10, 9, 8, and get ready to throw it. 6, 5, 4, don't forget now. Ready? 2, 1. And now open your eyes and throw it against the wall. And what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. There's absolutely no power in human thought. No power whatsoever. That's the example that Joel gives us. And it helps me, or it helped me, to see no matter what I did in my thought, it could not express out here because it has no power. If in treatment we use the human mind to bring about a healthy heart, liver, or lung, we may possibly achieve our objective, but tomorrow is another day, and why should not one or another of these organs become sick tomorrow, even though it has been restored to health today? Next month is another month, next year another year, and before we realize it, the years have added up to 70 years. After that, of course, there's no use praying for a good heart, liver, or lung. It is too late. Even Scripture tells us that. It has been said that the study of metaphysics prevents untimely death. But what is a timely death? If you believe in the timeliness of death, can you pray for a good heart after 70 or 80? Or whatever your conception of a proper lifespan is? No, unless we actually take the Master at his word and understand that the life which is God is our individual life, then we shall be praying each month or each year for a renewed heart, lung, or liver. There is only one way to avoid the necessity of repeating demonstrations year after year, and that is to come back first to the basis of this work. I and my Father are one, and therefore all that the Father is, I am, and all that the Father hath is mine. We must really trust and rely on the truth, gain such a conscious awareness of it that it becomes so much a part of our being that it is second nature to us. Then we no longer have to make demonstrations, week in and week out, month in and month out. So that's first, conscious awareness that I and my Father are one. Secondly, and a major point, we must catch the vision that the human mind is not a power, either for good or for evil. If we understand that it is not a power for evil, we shall never fear it. We shall never fear malpractice. We shall never fear the individual or collective thoughts or beliefs of the world. Now, I've been moving this principle around a little bit in my experience, and I find myself catching myself. I catch myself thinking that, well, if I think the right thought here, all will be well. Or, stop that. Stop thinking that. You're going to draw negativity to you. No. Thought is not power. Not bad thought, not good thought. Thought is not a power. And I began looking around at my room. There is my cat on the bed. There is a picture of Christ Jesus on the wall. There is a bedspread made out of, well, it's a patchwork quilt. All of these are thoughts. And so I look at my room, I look at my state, I look at my country, I look at my planet. Thought is not a power. None of these thoughts are power. There's no power out here. And then, what is power anyway? Have you ever meditated on that? What is power? God is the only power, but what is power? Is power used over something? Is there a power over something? No. Well, what is power? Take it down deep to the center of your being. Father, what is power? Of course, what comes is I am. But I am what? What is power? Once you have the conscious realization of power, you will know that no thought, good or evil, is power. you look at the sun up in the sky, is it power? I don't know what the exact temperature is without looking it up. The temperature of the sun can melt anything. Anything. So is the sun power? It can't be. All power is God. God is all power. That means it's eternal. And these suns, eventually they burn out. They come to an end. And there's evidence of that in the universe. Stars that have come to an end. So the sun is not power. What then? What is power? You say, I. What is I? These are questions that can only be answered by the Father within. So if you have the conscious awareness of the Father within, you can ask, Father, what is eternal power? It's not power over something. What is it? Don't be afraid to ask. Pay attention. He says, study this closely. If we understand that the human mind is an avenue of awareness, we will not make the mistake of trying to do away with the human mind. But we shall be very grateful that we have it to use as an avenue of awareness. Yes, you can become aware, consciously aware, of spiritual power. I'll give you a hint. Spiritual power is something that is. Through the mind and its thoughts, we can become aware of the truth of being. We can become aware of the beauties and bounties of the world. It is through thought that we become aware of each other. God, truth, imparts itself to me and to you. Through thought, we become receptive to the divine ideas, the spiritual ideas of life. Therefore, we are not trying to negate or eliminate thought or the human mind, but rather, we are going to utilize it as one of these avenues given to us for the harmonious expression of daily experience. However, we are not going to use the mind as a power. We are not going to use that mind to demonstrate health or wealth or opportunity. We are going to use that mind to become aware of the health and wealth that already exist, that already is, as the natural state of our being. This teaching cannot be built on the old metaphysics, because no amount of human thought-taking is going to bring about health or wealth. Only God can do that, and God is the very life of our being. All right, do you get all that? If not, take it down deep into your closet and meditate on it until the conscious realization of something happens to you. We shall go on now to another point in which there is a lack of agreement, in which there is a difference in language and a difference in application. In the infinite way, prayer and treatment are not the same thing. Treatment is not a synonym for prayer, and prayer is not a synonym for treatment. In this teaching, treatment is the truth that you and I know, the truth that we think, declare, or affirm in contradistinction to the error that is appearing. In other words, when I say that God is the law and the reality of my being, that God is my life, my soul, when I say that God, the life which is God, is the eternality and immortality of my being, when I say that Christ is the law unto my being, and there is not a material law to act upon me, when I declare or affirm my oneness with God, when I declare or affirm the nothingness, the non-reality, the non-power of any form of error, that is treatment. In some metaphysical teachings, this would be considered prayer, but not in our work. In the infinite way, affirmations and denials have not been entirely eliminated. We do not do away completely with affirmations and denials, but we do not think of them as prayer. They are treatment, a statement or restatement of truth within our own thought. And the purpose of the treatment is to remind ourselves of the truth of being, thereby lifting ourselves to that place where prayer can take place. Now listen up. Prayer is the word of God which comes to us. Prayer is not something we do. Prayer is not a voicing of anything for God to hear. Prayer is not a petition or an affirmation. Prayer is really the Word of God coming to us. It is the peace, be still, that is voiced within our consciousness. It is an assurance that comes to us within which says, be still and know that I am God. I am on the field. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, if you look at this closely, prayer is not something we do. And I wrote, only God prays. When a practitioner or a teacher says to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that is treatment, not prayer. You are being reminded of some truth, the purpose of which is to bring about a stillness in your thought, a certain quietness, and an ability to be receptive so that you may hear within you a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That voice is prayer. And so only God prays. You don't pray. You never pray. The best you can do with your human thought is treatment, to remind yourself of the truth that was uttered and is in Scripture. After that, you must come to a stillness, a quietness, an inner silence. And if you are still enough, you will hear the presence of God praying. Now, when you hear this voice within your own being, and when I say hear, I do not necessarily mean audibly hear. I mean hear in the sense of becoming aware of, sensing, feeling, becoming conscious of. That is the word. And so the word is prayer. The thoughts are treatment. Now, when you go into meditation for someone that asks for help, you must find that inner stillness as quick as you can. Get back in here to the center of your being and listen. Listen for the word of God. Now, you may not hear any voice say anything, but you may become aware of, you may sense or feel or become conscious of the word or God's prayer. God is constantly praying because God is constantly ising. But to hear, to become aware of that prayer within you, means first discovering that thought is not power, and then being silent from thought, having an absence of self, which is the silence in which you can hear the word. You can receive an impression. You can become consciously aware of omnipresence. That is the prayer that has power. The prayer that's uttered within you. Okay. If you become aware of something stirring within you, if you become aware of a sense of peace descending upon you, that is prayer. That is the word coming to your consciousness, and that is communion. Prayer or communion is the relationship existing between God the Father and God the Son, which are one. So, there's a email you receive, and you open it up, and it says, I am experiencing the flu, and I can't shake it. I've tried to practice these principles, but I'm finding it hard to breathe. I may have bronchitis. Will you please help? Now what? The ball is in your court. What do you do? Well, at first you put the person at ease. Leave it with me. I will help you. And you close the email. And now you have to help. Where do you start? You start with treatment. And so in your treatment, you know that God is the only power, God is the only presence. This other thing, this isn't a power. These are thoughts. Yes, thoughts appearing in the body, but they're thoughts, and thoughts are not power. Not the good ones, not the bad ones. Thought is not power. So I can dispense with that. What am I here to do? Well, the treatment must contain the truth. And what is the truth? I am the truth. I. And I am the only power. And so to experience spiritual power, I'm going to have to find that stillness, that quietness, that receptivity, that silence within. Be still and know I, the only power, am God. And God is your individual being, my individual being. There's only one being. That being is God. Now I'm slowing down. Stand still. Be still. Behold, I will make all things new. Speak, Father. I am listening. I am still. I stand stock still. And in the stillness, I feel something. What is that? Yes, that's the presence. I feel the presence. The presence of what? The presence of I. And I am the way. So I am becoming consciously aware of I. Yes, here's that wonderful presence, the staff of my being. I, in the midst of me, is mighty. Spiritual power is in the midst of me. In this silence, I am spiritual power. And my conscious awareness of that is the reality of my being. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called the Son of God. Allness of God manifest as your individual being in the silence where there are no thoughts, there are no words, there are no treatments. There's only the stillness like Lake Michigan when there has been no wind and no boats. It's silent. It's still, very still. And you take your boat out and you travel across it and it creates a wake. Now there are ripples and waves created. Sort of like the word that comes to you in the stillness. Is like a wave on the water, gentle. Please learn to not be afraid of the silence. In the silence, you will be able to hear God pray. Remember, man cannot pray. Man can treat. Man can rehearse a treatment within his thought. But then you descend into the inner silence at the center of your being. Here you are receptive. You are listening. You are waiting on the prayer of God. And suddenly comes to you, "Ah, I am the way." That I is prayer. And only God can pray. So you become really proficient at listening, at waiting upon the Lord. You become really good at being receptive. "I live, yet not I, Christ." Christ prays. So that should take some of the responsibility off of your shoulders. You are not required to pray. You are required to treat to such an extent that you enter the silence. There's nothing else to treat with or for. Be still and know. Stand still and receive. In this inner quietude, in this gentle inner stillness, behold, I come quickly. And you hear the praying of God. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the prayer. And your conscious awareness of prayer, of God praying, is spiritual power. That's where it is. Spiritual power within you. Well, we'll wrap it up here because there's not enough time to finish the second half of this chapter. So we'll look at it next week. But that's okay if we've gotten these points across. Thoughts are not power. Not good thoughts, not bad thoughts. You can think of the most wonderful present that you've ever received and open your eyes and throw it. It does nothing. The same as the nuclear bomb you built. Not good thoughts, not bad thoughts. They are both non-power. But we don't throw them away because we need them to get to that level of stillness, that level of silence, that level of quietness. So we use them. God is here. I am here. I and God are one. One power. One life. Now let me be still and listen for God's prayer. Father, peace, be still, and rest. God is on the field. God is prayer. God is ising. Thank you, Father. Okay. Thoughts. Your thoughts are used as treatment. to enter the silence and hear God's prayer, God's thoughts. Behold, I make all things new. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Thank you, everyone. Until next week, I bid you adieu, and God's blessings, and there's your treatment. Now I will be silent.